Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 29th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue today as we take a look at the events that are taking place around us. And we know that you have warned us concerning all of this. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to give us the strength that we need so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today our subject is going to be reshaping America. Now, you're aware of the fact that there are so many things taking place now. The assault upon the Capitol on January the 6th, the plan that has been set up by those far-right evangelicals to take control of the United States of America and to turn it into a Christian nation, and by virtue of that, to fulfill Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, in which it says that the United States of America will ultimately turn the rest of the world to worship the first beast, which is, of course, the papacy. But I want to let you know, as we've made the point before, that that assault upon the Capitol on January the 6th was not necessarily a political attack, but actually it was religious in nature. And there is an article I'd like to share with you today from the Outline website. It was published all the way back on March the 19th, 2020. The website again, the Outline website. The date of the article, March the 19th, 2020. The writer of the article is L. Hardy. First name, E-L-L-E, last name, H-A-R-D-Y. And the title of the article is The Modern Apostles Who Want to Reshape America Ahead of the End Times. The title again, The Modern Apostles Who Want to Reshape America Ahead of the End Times. Here's the article. At first blush, it could be the premise of a terrible airport novel. A group of self-proclaimed apostles have a plan rooted in biblical prophecy to invade every sphere of life as we know it. And they have the ear of the most powerful man in the world. Unfortunately, the Seven Mountains Mandate is not a work of bad fiction, but a manifestation of evangelical Christians to conquer what proponents see as the seven key facets of life. These seven mountains are education, religion, family, business, government, entertainment, and media. And while the Democrats are slugging it out to see who becomes the party's nominee for the 2020 election, these seven mountains, as often called, are coursing through the decrepit veins of the Republican Party, offering a vision of total denomination and dominion at a time when its core consistency is in demographic decline. Now, of course, I want to pause there and let you know that this is not the only not the only journalist who has recognized that the Republican Party is now absolutely controlled by this far-right evangelical people. And this, of course, is the reason why you discover that there are a lot of things that they're not speaking to and will not speak to, because these people are totally under the control of these apostolic prophets. All right? Continuing the article, it says this: the center of evangelical gravity may have shifted from firebrand Southern Baptists to slick California megachurches infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is clear that Seven Mountains is being used to bring together a new and determined moral majority for the 21st century. And while the late televangelist Jerry Falwell and his cohorts might have wanted to save your soul or stop your abortion, the new breed of prophets, the new breed of apostles, and the Seven Mountaineers want nothing short of transforming society completely. the Seven Mountains Mandate came into being in 1975, when God allegedly delivered a concurrent message to missionary movement leader Loren Cunningham, Campus Crusade for Christ founder Bill Wright, and televangelist Francis Schaeffer to invade the seven spheres. The largely dominant idea was resurrected in 2000 when Cunningham met with strategic, futurist, and compelling communicator Lance Wallnau and told him about the vision of 25 years earlier. The prophetic Wallnau, a 63-year-old businessman consultant based in Dallas, with a doctorate in ministry with a specialization in marketplace from Phoenix University, saw the idea's potential and began promoting seminars and training courses on the theory as a template for warfare for the new century. Its real surge in popularity began in 2013 when Wallnau co-authored the movement's Call to Arms, and the title of the book, Invading Babylon, The Seven Mountains Mandate. To understand how the Seven Mountains Mandate has taken hold, it is important to place it in the context of its origins in charismatic Pentecostalism, the fastest growing religion not only in America but around the world. It is estimated that of the world's 2 billion Christians, one quarter are now Pentecostal, a figure that has grown from 6% in 1980. While the late televangelist Jerry Falwell and his cohorts might have wanted to save your soul or stop your abortion, this new breed of prophets, this new breed of apostles, and seven mountaineers want nothing short of transforming society. Pentecostalism came to life in 1906 with preachers like William Seymour, the culmination of a new form of religious expression from the late 19th century. Its name for the miracle of Pentecost, when 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles and gave them tongues of fire to convert foreigners by preaching in their languages. Its focus on healing and miraculous, saw for a long time as a poor people's religion, became that of a second wave charismatic movement. And in the 1960s, it pulled in disaffected New Agers and other mainline Protestants who had focused on believers' direct experiences with God through the Holy Spirit. Today, we're in the third wave, generally called neo-charismatic Pentecostalism. And this is where these people stand. They're trying to cement itself into a fifth pillar of Christianity alongside Catholicism, Protestantism, and the other branches of Orthodoxy. All of this might sound as old as a preacher owning a private jet, but politically, it looks a lot like the right-wing wave of populism that is heating up the planet. Culturally, it is something between a music festival and a self-help seminar. Confusingly, it's all largely academic, as you'll rarely hear leaders of the believers self-identifying as Pentecostal. The movement, which many call the non-denominational, is best defined by the way it practices. Make no mistake, it still takes plenty of its authority from selective reading of the good book. In the case of the Seven Mountains, the authority to take over the world comes from Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, which says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains." The number 7 is significant in the book of Revelation, where the apocalyptic prophecy is preached to the seven churches of Asia. For Wallnau and Johnson, the mission of today's apostles is to set people free from torment and disease to destroy the works of darkness. They throw red meat to other key conservative touchstones, saying that there is no such thing as secular employment for the believer, that the role of government is to create a realm of safety and a realm of prosperity, because property is demonic. Prosperity is but one area in which the Lord helps those who help themselves, as we also need Him to deal with the many spirits and demons in our midst. At least that's according to self-proclaimed Apostle Paula White, President Donald Trump's spiritual advisor and a Seven Mountain devotee who has recently the subject of a viral video clip decrying the witchcraft in the Marine Kingdom and commanding any satanic pregnancies to miscarry right now. Of course, and you saw that video, didn't you? And you see her praying for the president all the time. She's always calling on angels to come and cast out demons out of the White House so that the president can be protected. Now, of course, she did this before they lost the election. And of course, they're all disappointed. One of the reasons why there is this ongoing threat to the present president is because these people do not believe that what has happened has happened. And they believe that God is going to step in at some point along the line and bring Donald Trump back to the throne. That is what they believe with all their hearts. And this is what they have been pushing as their agenda. All right. Now, continuing the article, it says this. It might sound bizarre, but she's referencing the letter to the church at Ephesus, credited to St. Paul the Apostle, who tells Christians that their enemies are the powers of this dark world and that the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. As Andre Gonde, an associate professor of religious studies at Concordia University, has pointed out, conjuring up fears from the spirit world is a disciplining force that keeps believers on constant war footing in both real and spiritual lives. This way of life is time-consuming, he says, and one easily becomes paranoid and scared of being constantly attacked by forces of darkness. To true believers, it is incumbent upon them to prepare God's kingdom for His arrival to rule. So far, that looks like stacking Washington, D.C., and any number of state capitals with believers in the resurgent dominionist theology. Now, of course, notice again, you've got another journalist who recognizes exactly where these people are coming from and what their agenda is. It is not a political agenda. It really is a religious agenda. And let me say it again. Their assault upon the Capitol on January the 6th, not a political move at all. One of the reasons why they had the capacity to ignore the election is because they believe that God was speaking to them and that He would restore the man that they saw as a man chosen by God to lead the nation and the world. Now, this is a very serious matter. And one of the reasons why I'm sharing these articles with you is because I want you to understand these people are not fooling around. They are dead serious about this. Which means, of course, that all of what God has told us in advance is coming to pass. You and I need to understand this. And what it does is it gives us the kind of urgency that is necessary so that we might be ready. We might get ready now and not pause for a moment, but make sure that our lives are rooted and grounded in truth, so that we might walk according to the will of God. Let's continue the article just a little bit further. It says, invoking the presence of evil forces all around us also serves a purpose in this culture of signs, wonders, and thick metaphors. If demonic spirits are descending on society like fog, the peak of the mountains is the one thing that rises up above them. Of course, those on top of the peaks, like Walnu and Paula White, are able to look down on our envelopment in the demonic fog and call upon our minds, our bodies, and our spirits and wallets to act. The funny thing is that God's authority looks a lot more earthly than the florid language of prophecy might have us believe. Behind the looming marine terror, positive Instagram posts, and Silicon Valley speak, The movement remains a 21st century version of hardcore Christian dominionism. That is, the belief that God has called conservative Christians to exercise authority over all of us by taking control of cultural and political institutions. They are merging the biblical and secular worlds through President Trump. The heathen King Cyrus, that's who they call him, the Persian leader in the Bible who conquered Babylon and allowed the Jews to return to Israel. Their modern-day king decision to move the United States Embassy to Jerusalem, and the assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, believed to be accelerating America into the prophesied last days on earth, where, as Walnu put it, there is no neutral territory. To true believers, it is incumbent upon them to prepare God's kingdom for his arrival to rule. So far, that looks like stacking Washington, D.C., and that is exactly what they're doing now. These modern apostles want to use the Seven Mountains mandate to reshape America and the world ahead of the end times. Now, I want to stop right here. Remember what Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12 says? It first of all describes the fact that this beast that has two lamb-like horns will cease to act like a lamb-like, but will begin to speak as a dragon. And then verse 12 says that it will cause, or rather, it will force the entire world to worship the first beast. Notice what the writer of this article says here at the beginning of this paragraph. These modern apostles want to use the Seven Mountains mandate to reshape America and the world ahead of the end times. The movement provides supernatural justification for the politics and theory of government of the Christian right, not to mention an emphasis on prosperity, and one that understands the shifting demographics of the U.S. that will see white Christians become an ever-increasing minority in the coming decades. The doctrine is already making its way into conservative political circles beyond those who believe that God speaks to them directly. As the Conservative Political Action Conference last month, college campus activist and Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk declared that finally we have a president that understands the seven mountains of cultural influence. Now, of course, that person that he's referring to is Donald Trump. And remember now, we're reading an article that was published back in March of 2020. The writer of that article is Ellie Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y, and you'll find the article in the Outline website. The title, The Modern Apostles Who Want to Reshape America Ahead of the End Times. I believe that by now you're getting an understanding of exactly where we're sitting here. I believe that you understand exactly that this is not something that is happening in the future, but this is happening now. Indeed, this is the fulfillment of all that God has said in his word. And these men are planning to do exactly what God said they are going to do. And we have been warned concerning this. One last article before we close today says this. Cultural power is a particular preoccupation of the movement. But that's not to say that these self-professed Davids are only interested in Hollywood, and nor are they leading their fight on their own. Project Blitz, a Christian dominionist version of Americans for Prosperity, which recently rebranded as Freedom for All, is providing model legislation bills for state governments, such as allowing adoption agencies to discriminate against LGBTQ people. Last year, it claimed a network of 950 legislators in 38 states. The steering committee for this shadowy organization includes David Barton, close ally of Lance Wallnau, who has said that if you're going to establish God's kingdom, You've got to have these seven mountains all over the country and the world. We're going to stop here today. But I want you to understand that this, and when you will find that journalist after journalist, people who have no relationship whatsoever with church, or for that matter, prophecy, are revealing what is happening here. Now, God's people have been warned about this for the longest while, which means that we have no excuse for not being ready for what is to come. We're going to be challenged. We are going to be seriously challenged. We're going to be challenged to prove whether or not we really believe what we claim that we believe. And when we do, we will be persecuted. Some of us might be imprisoned, but you will know for sure that you can trust in God, because God has said, it doesn't matter what they do to you, I will be with you. I will be your protector. And even if I allow you to be persecuted, I allow you to be martyred, it will be so that you might be a testimony to his goodness and his greatness and his power. Today, God is calling you to commit again to total and absolute obedience to his will, so that you might be a powerful witness for him, that your life might reflect him, that those around you might see that there is a difference in you. Would you make that commitment today? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us. And we look around you and we look around us and we see the things that you have told us in advance. We thank you for the warning received. But we ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength that is necessary, the renewing of our hearts and our minds and our characters, so that we might indeed reflect you in every detail of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry, so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your Daily Briefing, January the 29th, 2021.